Hood River resident Arthur Babbitts is an engineer and a dedicated community volunteer. Arthur has served as mayor of Hood River, now sits on the City of Hood River Planning Commission, the Landmarks Board, and Historic Columbia River Highway Advisory Board. He's a board member of Livable Hood River and also volunteers with the History Museum of Hood River, where he has helped digitize more than 20,000 historic photos. He posts one photo each day. Yeah, round of applause for that. He posts one photo each day on his Historic Hood River blog, and Arthur's story is called Crowdsourcing History. Everybody, Arthur Babbitts.
Thank you very much. So, have a little bit of feedback here. Is this okay? Do I have to walk over here? Okay, go over here and see if we can avoid the feedback. You're going to need to see that. That's why I'm not standing in the middle like the other speakers. So Eileen told me I had to speak at this event. I spoke at the first Rooted, and then I was told I had to speak at the second Rooted, so I spoke at the second Rooted. And then I got a call and was told I had to speak at the third Rooted. So I looked back and I realized I've done over 20 history lectures in the last 10 years or so. But I have this thing where I don't like to do the same lecture twice. I think it's boring. It's boring for me. Let me just put it that way. It's boring for me, so I don't do the same lecture twice. So I thought, what would I talk about today that I could put together and that might be interesting to this group? And I thought that something that I wanted to talk about is the history of my history site. So this is going to be a little bit self-referential. We're going to talk about the history of history, and it's called Crowdsourcing History. And I will admit that when I started this project, first I have to ask, how many of you have seen Historic Hood River? Okay, so pretty good percentage. So for those of you who haven't, it's a photo blog. Every morning there's a photo that's put up. With the photo is a brief story and then room for comments. And this has become an experiment which has now lasted for 9 years. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about how it got its start. And of course, my notes disappeared just at that moment. So what I'll admit is I grew up in an area with no discernible history. The town that I grew up in was suburban houses that had been plopped down on a potato field. So there was no sense that anything that you were looking at had had anything there before, had any existence or any purpose before. So the thought that something had happened before, that there was history in this spot, was just something that you never thought about. So because of that, as a child, I developed a huge affinity for the concept that there were actually things that might have happened in places before I got there. I used to love, when we take family trips, I would love those roadside signs that say, on this spot, this particular battle happened, or the first oil well in North America, or whatever. Just those little roadside signs were just one of my favorite things to look at. And I would always beg my parents to slow down so I could read the signs, and of course, my dad never would slow down. So we'd zoom by, and I got to learn how to read really quick. But and I will admit, I am the person today who pulls off at those rest stops when they have those signs there, and I go and read the signs every place I see them. But more than those signs, something that I find far more interesting is historic photographs. And what the historic photographs are, they are proof that something happened at this space at this particular time. Now, when I went to college, I was a physics and a history major, and this kind of puts them together perfectly, because what we know by looking at a photograph is that photons, you know, went through a camera and hit the film at a certain period in history and at a certain place in the world. And I just love this concept that a photograph has captured that moment for eternity. And this is the photo that kind of got me started in this whole process. So what happened was that when I was mayor, I got an email from a student who was working on a thesis, and I don't even remember her name, but she sent me this. She sent me her thesis, which was on the history of tourism in Hood River, and it had some photographs in it, like this. And I looked at this photograph, and the photograph was labeled Oak Street, Hood River, 1895. And this just transfixed me. This single photograph said to me that there was something else here, something very different, and I wanted to know everything I could about it, and I wanted to be able to share it with other people. I wanted other people to be able to see this, and everything was online, so why wouldn't we put these things online? So I wrote a grant proposal, which is what you kind of do when you want to make something happen. So wrote the grant proposal, and amazingly, within about 3 or 4 weeks, a check came. And we had a project started to digitize the History Museum's photo collection. And this was back in 2010. What I discovered as soon as we started digitizing these photos is we had these great photos, but we didn't actually know a lot about them. Some of them we had some reasonable background on them, but most of them we just didn't know very much about them. And I thought, well, there are still some folks around town who can answer these questions. I came from New York. What do I know about Hood River history? But I like to ask people. So I figured I had a blog at that point. If you remember what blogs were, I had one. And I thought it would be good to put out the word that there were photos around and take a look at these photos and tell us what's going on. Because you all know that having a blog is the best way to get in touch with old people to ask them about history. So, in March, I think this is what, March 9th, 2011, I put up the first photo. I had to write a bunch of code to make this happen, but that's kind of what I do. So I put up this first photo, and I thought that I would share it with a handful of people, very specific people. But I don't really remember why, but I thought, I was looking at the Hood River Weather chat room, and I said, hey, I'll let them know about it too. So I happened to mention it there, and before I knew, people started sending comments. And so each one of these, there's a photograph, there's a little bit of set of notes, and there's comments. And I view this as something of a seed that I put out there, and I see what grows. So from this first one, it sort of set the pattern for how these things went along. So what we're looking at, that building is a livery building, the William Rand livery building. It's on the site, which is now the parking lot of the Salilo restaurant, so behind Sushi Okalani and Salilo. And there's a truck there, and I said that I thought it was a 1934, photographed about 1934. And immediately someone from WAM said, those trucks didn't have a headlight like that until about 1938 or 1939. So I kind of knew that something was going on then. And then another man who didn't even live in Hood River, he's lived someplace in Portland or Eugene, wrote in and said, I used to live in the building right next to that. And he started to tell me a bit about the history and why there's that big aerial pole coming up from behind there. So that gave me the clue that there really was something worth happening. So every morning at 7 a.m., a photo gets posted. And that has been the case every weekday morning for 1,972 mornings. It's a lot. I have not yet missed a morning, but I do confess that I do queue them up a little bit in advance. I'm not a morning person. I'm not up at 7 a.m. every morning. And as you probably learned if you were watching it this week, the website does not adjust for daylight savings time. So we had a 8 o'clock post earlier this week, but you all adjusted to that. The 2000th image will be posted in the third week of December. I like cakes, I like pie, so you think about how you might want to celebrate that. In the time that this website has been up, 2.5 million images have been served. That's kind of like the McDonald's number burger. So 2.5 million images served, roughly 1,000 image views a day on weekdays, more in winter, especially when it snows. Fewer on the weekends, but on the weekends, people stay a lot longer. That's the great thing with Google Analytics, everything about what's going on behind the scenes. So what I know is the average visit to this website is more than 3 minutes, which if any of you know anything about analytics, that's amazing that people spend that much time looking at anything on a computer device. And sometimes people spend hours. I actually have times where people, I can track and see that people have spent 2 or 3 hours on the website looking at hundreds and hundreds of images. When I was preparing this, I wanted to see in the last year where were the top places that people were viewing from. I found it was Hood River number one, so that's no surprise. Portland number two, not too much of a surprise. The Dalles number three, also not a huge surprise. Then Seattle, number four, and then number five, Paris. So I wondered about Paris, and I started to think back to the very early days of the website, and I had this picture up. So this was actually one of the most fun images that I found. It was a negative that was curled up. It looked like a cigarette. So it had been totally curled. In the early negatives, so this is a cellulose nitrate negative, and so they have a cellulose nitrate backing and then an emulsion, and the two things shrink at different rates. So the top is shrinking faster than the bottom, and the thing therefore curls, and it curls tighter and tighter. And over 100 years or so, it had curled to about the dimensions of a cigarette. So I looked at this, and for some reason, I thought, I wonder if this is the Paris Exposition of 1900. That's probably what you were thinking also, right? Well, it turns out it was in fact the Paris Exposition of 1900. All of these buildings were made out of plaster, all temporary artificial buildings that were made just to last a couple of years. They're long since gone. They're right across the Seine from the Eiffel Tower. But we had this moment in time. A man from Hood River had gone over to Paris, and for some reason, he came back and wanted to tell everybody about it. The Paris Fair had a huge hold on Hood River. You look in the newspapers at the time, people were talking about this fair. This was the coming of a new century. It was a change in the world, and people were fascinated about this. In fact, the Paris Fair department store was named because of that. So I have a talk I've given on the Paris Fair, but maybe someday you can convince me to do that one. So let's talk about how the website works. So this is a photo that was put up a couple of years ago. And what we knew about this photo is it said it was Grasshopper Jim, early pioneer. That's all we knew. And obviously, there's a lot more going on here. Especially when you know that this was their wedding photo. So what we're able to discover through the magic of crowdsourced history is that this is, on the right was James H. Covington, who was, as it said in a bio of him, he was known for unusual behavior but considered generally harmless. He came to the Northwest as a fur trapper in 1837. It's pretty amazing. Why was he called Grasshopper Jim? That's probably a good question. In the Mexican-American War, he apparently became separated from the other troops and had to eat grasshoppers to stay alive. So that's why he was Grasshopper Jim. And his wife was Cincinnati. So that's a great name, and we have a bit of history on both of them. I'm not going to go through their whole bio, but actually just look in their eyes and you kind of get the whole bio. They actually divorced in the final year of life, which so we discussed this on the website for quite a while, and it turned out someone figured out that he was not of sound mind, so he was being cared for by the state, and it was probably something that they did to save his estate from being taken over by the state to pay for his care. So just a little detail of history.